and emulation. But all things considered, perhaps it is just as well. For though you know, owing to me, your papa and mamma are so good as to bring her up with you, it is not at all necessary that she should be so accomplished as you. It is much more desirable that there should be a difference. Don't you agree, Lady Bertram?
I have not much time for the cares of education. If dear Fanny is stupid at learning, I call it very unlucky. Mm. But some people are stupid. Mm. And she must take more pains.
Oh, indeed, yes.
I know you all find her dull, but Pug likes her very much. But where is Fanny? Is she still writing letters?
Dear William, I wonder how many letters we must have exchanged since I came to live here at Mansfield Park. The sad death of my uncle, Dr. Norris, is to bring about a change in my circumstances. I am to live with my Aunt Norris at the White House. I shall not like it at all. My cousin Edmund assures me that my living with her will be for my own good, as I shall be forced to do justice to my natural powers. He says that being with her will be as good for my mind as writing has been for my health. He is always so good to me. If you could only have seen him, William, helping me mount the old grey pony and not laughing at my fears. He has been unfailingly kind to me over the years, and though he can never usurp your place as my dearest brother in my heart, I own that I hold him in the deepest of affection.
Live with me, dear Lady Bertram? What do you mean?
Is she not to live with you, Mrs. Norris? I thought you had settled it with Sir Thomas.
Me? Never. I never spoke a syllable about it to Sir Thomas, nor he to me. Fanny live with me? Oh, what would I do with Fanny? Me? A poor, forlorn widow, unfit for anything. My spirit's quite broken down. What should I do with a girl at the very age of all others when she needs most attention and care? Sir Thomas could not seriously expect such a thing. He is too much my friend. How did he come to speak to you of it?
Indeed, I do not know. I suppose he thought it best. We both thought it would be a comfort to you. But if you do not like it, there is no more to be said. She is no encumbrance here.
Oh, dear sister, if you consider my unhappy state, how can she be a comfort to me? Here am I, a poor, desolate widow, deprived of the best of husbands, my health gone in nursing him, with barely enough to support me in the rank of a gentlewoman. No? Fanny is in good hands and sure of doing well. If I can but make ends meet, that's all I ask for.
I hope, sister, things are not so bad for you. Sir Thomas says you will have 600 a year.
Oh, I do not complain. A great many things were expected from poor Mr. Norris as clergyman of the parish that cannot be expected from me. It is unknown how much was consumed in our kitchen by odd comers and goers. I must retrench where I can and learn to be a better housekeeper. I shall not be ashamed to practice economy now. I hope to lay by a little at the end of the year.
I dare say you will. You always do, don't you?
It is for your children's good that I wish to be richer. I have no one else to care for, and if things go badly for Sir Thomas's estates in Antigua, his means will be rather straitened.
So, Sir Thomas, we were quite mistaken in thinking that my sister had ever any intention of taking Fanny.
I wonder at her refusing to do anything for her niece, especially as she was so insistent on her being adopted. However, she is leaving everything to our children. We shall be able to take care of Fanny ourselves.
How long will you and Tom be away in Antigua?
I think it'll be at least a year. But it will be a good thing to separate Tom from the rather wild set with whom he's been associating. I know that I can safely leave you and the girls in Edmund's capable hands. He is very steady.
I am so glad that Fanny is staying with me. Pug and I would have missed.
Dear William, I am not to live with Aunt Norris at the White House after all. She says it is too small to accommodate...